Friends, familiar ba kayo sa term o katagang SONA? Ang SONA po ay siyang taunang talumpati o speech ng leader o pinuno ng isang bansa para sa kanyang mga mamamayan. Sa case po natin sa Pilipinas, ang SONA ay mandated o pinag-utos ng ating konstitusyon. Kaya ang SONA ay ginagawa ng presidente natin sa tuwing ika-apat na lunes ng buwan ng Hulyo. It is being held o dinaraos ito sa plenary session hall ng Batasang Pambansa Complex sa Batasan Hills, Quezon City. Ang SONA ay nagsisilbi as a means to inform or update the nation about its present economic, political, and social condition. Ginagamit din ito ng Pangulo ng Bansa para isummarize ang kanyang mga nagawa o ang kanyang mga accomplishments and plans ng kanyang administration sa darating na taon. Similarly, ang passage natin ngayon ay siyang huling State of the Nation address or SONA ni Joshua sa mga Israelites. Pero bago natin puntahan yung event sa Joshua chapter 24, balikan muna natin ang mga pangyayari sa nakaraan. Bakit dumating tayo sa punto na ito ng history ng tao? Or more specifically, sa history ng mga Hudyo. Sa Genesis chapters 1 and 2, makikita natin na nilikha ni Yahweh ang sanlibutan at ang lahat. Lahat-lahat na andito. Kasama ang tao, si Adan, saka si Eva. Now, God's purpose for His creation is for His creation to glorify Him and to serve Him. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." But as we know, Adam and Eve failed. Dahil instead of glorifying Yahweh by serving and worshiping Him, naging makasarili sila. They turned to self-serving, self-worship. At ganun din ang lahat ng sumunod sa kanila. Everyone that was born of Adam was evil. Hanggang sa dumating sa panahon ni Noah, ang mundo ay pasama ng pasama. And Yahweh ay i-judge na niya ang mundo sa pamamagitan ng baha. But God chose Noah and his family to be saved. God called Noah to build an ark to save his family from the flood as he, Yahweh, judges the world. Pero muli, ang lahat ng tao pagkatapos ni Noah ay masama. About 400 years after the flood, God called another man, Abram, and told him that he has chosen him to be the father of his chosen people. Abram, or Abraham, as he would later be called, had a son named Isaac. Si Isaac ay nagkaroon din ng anak na pinangalanan niyang Jacob, whose name was changed by the Lord later to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons na siyang naging 12 tribes ng nation ng Israel. And one of them was Joseph. Joseph is Israel's favorite son, but was hated by his brothers. Joseph was sold by his brothers sa mga slave traders na nagdala sa kanya sa Egypto. To make the long story short, Joseph came to Egypt, eventually became Pharaoh's right hand, and we all know the story of Joseph and ng mga Israelites sa Egypt. For a time, the Israelites lived peacefully in Egypt hanggang sa nagpalit ng administrasyon, nakalimutan ng bagong Pharaoh ang naging contribution ni Joseph sa history nila at ginawang alipin ang mga Hudyo. God then called Moses and told him to lead his people out of Egypt. God uses Moses to set his people free from Pharaoh's slavery, and they journeyed towards the promised land. But the Israelites, including Moses, failed to enter the promised land because of disobedience. Si Joshua at si Caleb lang ang pinayagan ng Panginoon na makapasok sa promised land. And when Moses died, God appointed Joshua to lead his people into the promised land. Which brings us to our passage this afternoon, sa Joshua chapter 24. Now from chapters 1 to 22, makikita natin ang mga pagpasok, tagumpay at pananakop ng mga Israelites sa lupain na pinangako ni Yahweh sa kanila sa pamumuno ni Joshua. sa chapter 23. After he had distributed the property sa 12 tribes ng Israel, ay pinatawag ni Joshua ang mga elders, mga pinuno ng mga angkan, mga judges at mga tagapangasiwa sa bayan. Pagkatapos nun, sa chapter 24, ay tinipon niya ang buong nasyon ng Israel para sa kanyang huling sona. Tanong, bakit nagpatawag ng sona si Joshua? Ano ang dahilan o pakay niya kung bakit niya tinipon ng mga tao? Sa chapter 23, makikita natin na matanda na si Joshua. With the exception of the past few years kung saan merong kapayapaan na nai-enjoy ang Israel, Joshua basically has spent the past 15 years leading the Israelites sa kanilang pananakop sa Promised Land. Pero if you really think about it, kung bibilangin natin, he has been a war vet or a war veteran for more than that period because he has been leading the Israelites to battle since time pa ni Moses. So we see a battle-scarred war veteran na nakakaramdam na na malapit na siyang pumanaw. Hence, a good reason for a sona. Because he is now old, he's dying. He wants to remind the people of God's faithfulness. See, sa buong termino niya bilang leader ng mga Israelites, this is only the second time na tinipon ni Joshua ang buong bayan. The first time is found in Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 to 34, if you want to go back there later, wherein they renew their covenant with God. So, hindi ito karaniwan na okasyon, which is why the whole nation were in attendance. People know na pag nagpatawag ng pagtitipon ng buong bayan si Joshua, this is an important event. At kailangan nilang pumunta at makinig sa sasabihin niya. We can notice two differences between Joshua's sona at sa sona ng mga leader ng mga bansa ngayon. Una, attendance. Nang nagsona si Joshua, ang buong bayan pumunta at nakinig. Sa panahon ngayon, hindi lahat ng tao pumupunta at hindi lahat nakikinig sa sona. The other one, leaders today use the sona to tell the people of their achievements, of their accomplishments. But in Joshua's sona, he uses the time to parade God's accomplishments. Notice how he started his speech. Thus, says the Lord. And ang buong speech niya, isa lang nilalaman. It was a reminder of everything that the Lord has done for them and what the Lord will do for them. Which now brings us to our text, Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 28. Our main point for today, pala, if you want to know, is those who truly fear God choose to fear Him in sincerity and in truth. Those who truly fear God or fear the Lord chose to fear Him in sincerity and in truth. Pagkatapos balikan at sariwain ang lahat ng ginawa at nagawa ni Yahweh para sa kanila from verses 1 to 13, Joshua did three things na makikita natin sa passage na binasa kanina ni Brother Jerome, which will serve as our three points. Unang point, the command na makikita natin sa verses 14 to 15. Second point, the commitment, verses 16 to 22. And third, the challenge, which can be found sa verses 23 to 28. Let's look at these three points ngayon. First, the command. Sa verses 14 to 15, sabi niya, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sinabihan ni Joshua ang mga Israelites na sambahin at paglingkuran si Yahweh ng buong puso at katapatan. Sa paanong paraan? We see the answer in verse 14. Joshua told them to put away the gods your ancestors served. Now, what did he mean by put away? Sa bahay o sa eskwelahan, pag sinabi ni tatay o nanay o ni teacher na, okay kids, put away your things, your toys, kasi aalis na tayo or kakain na tayo, ano ang pagkaintindi niya? Ano ang pagkakaintindi natin sa, or ini-expect natin sa gagawin ng mga bata? Actually, did it sa bahay. Tinanong ko ang anak ko kung ano ang pagkaintindi niya pag sinabi ko, put away your stuff. The answer, simple lang. Siyempre po, iligpit, itago, itabi. Iligpit, itabi, o itago. Para magamit uli. Sa company na pinagtatrabuhan ko, meron kami mga production sites. At meron kami mga guidelines sa tamang paggamit ng mga equipo doon. Part of that guideline reads, to put away the tools and equipment pagkatapos gamitin. Meaning, ibalik sa tool cabinet after or when not in use para magamit uli. Is this what Joshua meant when he told them to put away? The original Hebrew term na ginamit was hasiru, meaning to remove, to avoid, to throw away, to reject, to abolish. Sa NIV translation ng Bible, na Joshua chapter 24:14, ang term na ginamit ay throw away. At sa Magandang Balita Biblia, ang term na ginamit ay alisin. And the second time, sa verse 23, ang sinabi ay itapon ninyo. So malinaw na ang sinasabi ni Joshua sa kanila ay itapon na nila ang mga Diyos-Diyosan na tinatago nila. Hindi niya sinabi sa kanila na, sige, iligpit at itago nyo yan at pwede nyong balikan next year. Hindi po ito yung put away na katulad sa kumpanya namin. Hindi din po ito ang put away na pagkakaintindi ng mga anak natin sa bahay natin. Ito po ay katulad po ng pagtapon ng basura. Hindi mo na binabalikan. Friends, how about us? What is it that we need to throw away sa buhay natin ngayon? Meron ba tayo o meron pa ba tayong mga idols na tinatago or nakatago? Mga imahen, anting-anting, agimat, or whatever it is na noon why we pray to for favors, we find significance. Or maybe yung idols natin are vices, mga bisyo na binabalik-balikan pa rin natin. Mga bisyo na hindi natin maiwan-iwanan, mabitaw-bitawan. May mga nakatago ka pa bang pornographic magazine or binabalikang website? Or ang bisyo mo ba ay paninigarilyo? Or maybe inom, usugal? Is it maling relationship? Friend, kapatid, remember what Joshua meant when he said, put away. Hindi dapat itago. Hindi itago, hindi itabi. Itapon. Kapatid, itapon mo na yan. Pagkatapos noon, Joshua said something na personally at first was very puzzling sa akin. Lalo na dahil naulit ang tone na ito sa verse 18. Verse 15a, sabi niya, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father serve in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. As I was reading this part of the passage, my initial thought was, ano to? Tama ba yung nababasa ko? Why did Joshua say that? What was he thinking? It's like he's a lawyer sa isang court case. He was building up his case for Yahweh, even going back to as far as Abraham's calling, all the way to Moses and the Exodus from Egypt, to entering and conquering the lands of Canaan, all the while reminding the people of what God has done for them and what God will still do for them. And then, sa bandang dulo ay sinabi niya, pero kung ayaw niyong sumunod at paglingkuran si Yahweh, eh mamili kayo ngayon kung sino ang gusto niyo. Bakit niya sinabi yon? Bakit di na lang, sambahin niyo si Yahweh, period. E di, sana tapos na. Bakit kailangan pa niya mamili ang mga tao? According sa Strong's Bible Concordance, ang Hebrew word for choose sa Tagalog po ay mamili is bachar, na ang ibig sabihin ay an act of comparing two or more objects or persons and the preference and selection of one over the other for a certain purpose, function, position, or privilege. Ang sinasabi po dito ay ito po ay isang proseso. Kung sino, isang proseso sa pagpili, sa pagitan ng dalawang bagay o tao, pipiliin mo ang gusto mo, ang mahal mo. Ito ang sinasabi ni Joshua sa kanila, na mamili sila kung sino ang sasambahin nila, sino ang mamahalin nila at iibigin nila. Si Yahweh ba o ang Diyos-Diyosan ng mga ninuno nila o ng mga Amoreo? John Calvin, on his commentary on Joshua chapter 24:15, says, it seems that Joshua is giving them the option to serve God or not, but there is no doubt that his tongue was guarded by the inspiration of the Spirit in stirring up and revealing their feelings. For when the Lord brings men under his authority, they are usually willing enough to profess enthusiasm for devotion. Again, John Calvin here is saying that it seems that God is giving them an option. Pero hindi po yun ang ibig sabihin ni Joshua. Sa halip, ay sinasabi niya ito para pukawin at makita ang kanilang tunay na damdamin. Ito ay dahil kapag ang tao ay pinatawag base sa authority ng Panginoon, kadalasan ay agad-agad na lang itong sasama o susunod kahit hindi bukal sa kalooban nila. It's a slave mentality. After all, they were slaves before. And alam ni Joshua to. Kaya nang sinabi niya, Bachar, mamili kayo ngayon, binigyan niya sila ng laya na mamili. He's saying, choose now. But in the process of choosing, they should seriously examine their hearts. Sino ba ang pagsisilbihan nila? Si Yahweh ba na ang grasya at katapatan na inakita nila? O ang mga Diyos-Diyosan ng mga ninuno nila at ng mga Amoreo na wala namang nagawa para sa kanila? He did it to prevent them from making empty and selfish promises, which he knew they would later break. And then without waiting for the reply, Joshua made his choice and his commitment known. Pinalam niya sa kanila, sa buong bayan ng Israel na, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why did he do it? But as for me, his choice was his own. He did not rely on anyone. He is not influenced by anybody. He did not care about the opinion of others about him and his family regarding sa choice nila. Whatever man na maging choice nila, even if ang buong bayan will choose to serve the other gods, wala siyang pakialam. He and his family will serve Yahweh. Period. We will serve the Lord. Before God appointed him to lead his people into the promised land, Joshua, the son of Nun, was a slave. He was born in slavery. Pinanganak siyang isang alipin sa Egypt. His parents, they were slaves. So he knows what a slave is. He knows a slave has no right, no freedom. You do exactly what your master tells you, what your master wants. So bakit niya sinabi ito? Kasi diba, it means that by declaring his choice to serve the Lord, Joshua is in effect saying he is committing himself, he is surrendering his family and his household na maging alipin ng Panginoon. Galing na siya doon, di ba? Ba't pa niya gustong bumalik sa pagiging alipin? Joshua Parker, isang English theologian at pastor noong 19th century, calls this action of Joshua, action ni Joshua sa verse 15 as a beautiful instance of voluntary slavery. Joshua volunteered himself, his family, his household for the Lord. He volunteered them to be a slave for the Lord. Wow. Now, how was he able to make such choice? What kind of man could make such commitment? Sa NIV version ng Psalms 34 verses 8 to 9, King David writes, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one that takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people. For those who fear him lack nothing." So balikan natin, how is Joshua able to make such a choice? Because Joshua has seen and tasted of the Lord's goodness. What kind of man could make such a commitment? A man who has experienced how beautiful it is to take refuge in God. But it's not only God's goodness that Joshua has seen. Joshua has also witnessed what happens when you disobey the Lord. Remember Achan or Achan at ang kasalanan niya sa Joshua chapter 7. Unlike Joshua, Achan chose to disobey God. Achan chose to serve himself. As a consequence, he and his family were stoned to death. Friends, how about us? How about you? Who or what motivates you to follow God? Yung choice mo ba to serve God ay nakadepende sa ibang tao or sa sirkumstansya sa buhay mo? Yung opinion ba ng ibang tao, does it matter? Do you serve dahil gusto mo, or do you serve dahil gusto mong makita ka or manotis ka ng tao? Check your heart. Or are you serving because you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Point number two, the commitment. It can be found in verses 16 to 22. Mababasa natin dito from verses 16 to 18 yung affirmation ng mga tao sa command ni Joshua. In fact, inulit nila yung sinabi niya sa verses 2 to 13. Pero ang nakakapagtataka ay after hearing their affirmation, anong ginawa ni Joshua? Joshua challenged their affirmation. O bakit naman ganon? Diba, yun naman ang gusto niya. Oh, sinabi naman nila yung gusto niya. Sinabi naman nila na si Yahweh ang susundin nila at pagsisilbihan. So bakit kailangan, or bakit niya china-challenge yung affirmation nila? Because Joshua knows them. He knows them. He knows their history of going back to worshiping idols. Remember yung event that God has just delivered them from Egypt. Tumalikod lang sandali si Moses, nag-worship na sila ng baka na gawa sa ginto. So alam niya, kilala niya sila. He knows that eventually babalik sila into worshiping idols. And part of it is because they never really followed God's instruction na kailangan nilang totally wasakin at paslangin ang mga syudad at tribo ng mga Amoreo nang sinakop nila ang mga lupain nito. We can find that story in Joshua chapter 23 verses 11 to 13. The other and more important reason ay dahil alam niya na total complete obedience to the Lord requires something more than physical strength and intellect. It requires more than a strong will or resolve. It requires divine intervention. So the reason why Joshua was asking them to decide and challenging their decision was to make sure na malaman nila na kailangan nilang seryosohin itong covenant na pinapasok nila. They need to seriously examine their hearts kung si Yahweh nga ba talaga ang gusto nilang paglingkuran at sundin. Joshua wants them to make more than just a lip service type of commitment. Ayaw ni Joshua lang ng verbal affirmation lang. Gusto niya that their commitment to serve Yahweh ay deeply rooted at dapat galing sa kanilang puso. After this, the Israelites reaffirmed their commitment sa Panginoon. Verse 23, point number 3, the challenge. Verses 23 to 28. So verse 23, alagay doon, pagkatapos sila mag-reaffirm, ang sabi ni Joshua, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord." Put away. Saan natin nakita yung put away? You've seen it earlier. So, inulit niya, put away the foreign gods. Put away the idols. Pero may dagdag, put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord. May dagdag. And incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. Hindi lang itapon, kundi ilipat mo ang iyong devotion from your idols to the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Point here, mga kapatid, is that you can throw away your idols. You can verbally commit to the Lord. And people can do these external things. People do these external things. We throw away our idols and we verbally commit and say that, yes, we will serve the Lord. But if we do not transfer our devotion, our loyalty to the Lord, then we are not truly serving God. You know that empty space in your heart that will simply be filled with other idols. And that means we are not truly serving the Lord. This is hard, I know. Because by nature, we are only loyal sa sarili natin. We love ourselves too much, in fact. That's why we pamper ourselves with material things. Now Joshua was a faithful servant. He obeyed God. He followed the law. He served God by leading his people to the promised land. The problem with Joshua, the son of Nun, is he's also born of Adam. Therefore, he is a sinner. He sins. He sinned. But there is another Joshua. A much greater Joshua that came to the world. 1,400 years later. And this greater Joshua, this greater Joshua came to fulfill the law. This greater Joshua, if Joshua the son of Nun followed God's word, this greater Joshua, he lived God's word. If Joshua conquered cities, this greater Joshua came to conquer your hearts. This greater Joshua is none other than Jesus Christ, Son of God. He did not come to be served. He came to serve. He served by dying for us. By dying for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. He came to redeem us, to reconcile us back to God the Father. Christ is the greater Joshua who was faithfully served by dying on the cross for us. In response, mga kapatid, we have to repent of our sins, of not serving the one and only God in sincerity and in truth and in faithfulness, and put out faith in the finished work of Christ, who is always and will always be ready to forgive us. Now, for us to continue serving the Lord in spirit and in truth, we need certain reminders, because we forget. We easily forget, actually. So in verses 23, 25 to 28, Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law because people forget, and they need to be reminded of God's word. Just like us today, we also need God's words to be reminded to us daily. That's why as a church we have a covenant community with each other. Meron din tayo accountability groups and accountability partners to remind us of that. So what should we do? We should fear the Lord by serving Him in spirit and in truth. How should we do it? The mark of a true follower of Christ is that he chooses to serve Him by committing to put away the idols in his life and places his devotion and loyalty to God alone. Just as Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."